Let's begin with prayer. Father, it's just so wonderful to have our voices together with many languages. And thank you, Lord, for sending so many wonderful, precious souls that you've saved into this congregation from around the world, and for the work of God in the nations, bringing people from every tribe and language and people into your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for Jay Lester's work and Jay and Michelle and their work with the International Christian Fellowship. We thank you for Japanese Christian Fellowship, Lord. We remember Janvier now and his group, the African Christian Fellowship. Bless him, Lord, as he's in Belgium right now. Thank you for Indian Christian Fellowship, Dinesh and Ritu and their ministry. Oh, Lord, there's so many. This Spanish Fellowship that meets. And thank you for the Chinese church. What a blessing, God, that we get to be part of that and to bring our voices together to serve you, the one true God, creator of all, and that you have a heart for the nations. And we also ask your blessing on the Sidners this day, Lord. Just thank you for their heart to minister to the needy that are displaced. Bring great fruit out of that ministry, Lord. We just ask your blessing upon them. And we pray now and commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You got it? You're such an international group. We're going to read some scripture here. We are, there we go. Matthew chapter 6, if you turn there, and I'm going to read as well while we're here. Beware of practicing your righteousness, Jesus says, before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I'd like to just look at three aspects of this passage. One is the danger we face. This is actually written to people who are following the Lord Jesus. And what is the underlying problem that causes that danger? And then what is the gospel solution that the Lord gives us? It's interesting, Jesus takes three things here that are actually common around the world: praying, fasting, and charity. And yet, what is distinctively Christian about speaking about these things from the Bible is these things, though they're good, this way of living righteously, does not have, how should I say, does not really count with God unless it is related to our relationship with the Lord. I was reading an article just a couple weeks ago, in the New York Times, and it's called The Fame Motive. It deals with something, a new study and a book that's out called The Fame Motive. But it's dealing with something that is also universal to all languages and people. The study that was done related to a nation in Asia, a nation in Europe, and the U.S. as well. But this is how the article begins. It says, money and power are handy, but millions of ambitious people are after something other than the corner office or the beach house on St. Bart's. They want to swivel necks, to light a flare in others' eyes, to walk into a crowded room and feel the conversation stop. They are busy networking, auditioning, talking up their latest project to satisfy a desire so obvious it is all but invisible. Surveys have indicated that some 30% of adults, and this is around the world, 30% of adults report regularly daydreaming about becoming famous. And more than 40% expect to enjoy some passing dose of fame at some point in their lives. For teenagers, the rates are even higher. Jesus, when he talks to his disciples and he speaks to them about righteous living, in Matthew chapter 5, he talks about what it means to live out righteousness. And at the end of chapter 5, he talks about loving God, and manifesting our love for our enemies. And as he begins to talk about righteousness, he says, but there's something you need to be aware of. You need to be aware of the danger of hypocrisy. You need to be aware of the danger that you'll start doing these things for other people to be noticed by them. It's one of the biggest criticisms that's often leveled at the church anyway, isn't it? That we're hypocritical. He speaks of three things: prayer, charity, and fasting. Prayer, we could add many others. We could put Bible study, we could put missions and service, we could put all other kinds of things. But prayer basically is a manifestation of love for God. Charity is a manifestation of love for our neighbor, to love God and love our neighbor. Fasting is a personal discipline, self-control, of turning away from the world and turning our attention to God. But the interesting thing is, these things are not good in themselves, by themselves. It's not like Jesus says, these are good, and whatever you are, if you're sincere, or, you know, whatever name you do that. As we look at Jesus' teaching, we see that it is all important who we're doing these for. Now, in Jesus' day, maybe people manifested their giving by blowing trumpets or very loud verbal prayers or their fasting. I don't know. I don't know if anybody came in this morning and if you put something in the offering, if you blew a little horn or something. We don't do things quite that way, do we? But we're a little more subtle. We do, though, fish for compliments, don't we? We do drop kind of notes about maybe some of the mission trips we've been on, some of the things we've done, or we'll say, yeah, I prayed for you when I had my quiet time at 5 a.m. this morning. You know, maybe we don't even do it quite that obvious, but we do let people know about the Bible studies we're leading. We like seeing our name in print and mentioned. We like to think about what people think about us. And this really bleeds over into our walk with God and into the Christian life. It is very insidious. It's very subtle. But Jesus says it's a danger. He says, beware. I had a Christian friend a number of years ago, a guy, and he decided he was going to do a 40-day fast. Like Moses and like Jesus. And he spoke to me and he said, I'm going to be fasting for 40 days. So, you know, it was kind of like it was sort of just between him and I. He said, I want you to be praying for me. I said, all right, got you covered. But as the weeks went on and days went on, more and more people kept saying, you know, he's on a 40-day fast. Don't you? Don't tell anybody. But we're all praying for him. Found out he had actually talked to most everybody in town, told them that he was on a 40-day fast. And it was very it disappointed me. And I can't judge ultimately what his motive was, but Jesus is saying, and we do that kind of thing. We're just, pray for me as I labor in my ministry at the homeless shelter where you're not working. You know, it's just we do these kinds of things to let people know how we are. And but the Bible says this is a snare. The love of people's honor and pleasing people is a snare. Augustine said the love of honor is the deadly bane of true piety. Other vices bring forth evil works, but this brings forth good works in an evil way. So that good things that are good become bad because we are playing to the wrong audience. Now, there's a balance here. Earlier in Matthew, in chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus himself says, you shall let your light shine before men in order that they can see your good works and give praise to your Father in heaven. And yet here, he says, but don't play to them as an audience. That's tricky, isn't it? There's a fine line that we are to manifest the goodness of the Lord through our lives, but to seek to do it in such a way that it doesn't come back on us. That we're not receiving the praise, and that we're not fishing for the approval by doing it. That we're not sort of building up our own self-image by getting other people to stroke us instead of our Father in heaven. That's the trap. Jesus himself said in John chapter 5, verse 44, he said, how can you believe, in other words, how can you come to faith, walk in faith with God, when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? This has been an area of personal failure and ongoing struggle for me. And especially when you're in full-time ministry or you're involved in a lot of ministries, that line between feedback that helps you and praise that puffs you up is a fine line sometimes. And you start playing for the poles rather than playing for your God. Our relationship with God is central. We see this in the Lord Jesus. Over and over again, he seems to be unfazed both by human praise and by human criticism. Over and over, he would say, I am doing this for my Father. I live before my Father. What I see him doing, I do. And at the end of his life, in his prayer in John chapter 17, he says, I want to be with you, Father, and once again, in your glory that we had at the beginning. His audience was his Father. We're learning from this passage as we look at it that for us as followers of Jesus, it's not enough that we just do things like pray and give and fast and have Bible studies and go to worship and things that are good. But it's all about a relationship with the Lord. Humanitarianism is not enough. We're doing it for other people. Sincerity is not enough. And what sincere about what? The act of itself is not enough. It could be duty. The thing that we're doing is we are seeking to please one, the Father. Oz Guinness, in his work, The Call, said this. He said, in working out our callings, and that could be ministry, it could be your work, it could be school, it could be teaching, it could be professional ministry, it could be whatever. In working out our callings, we are to perform for one audience, the audience of one. If you remember any phrase this morning, remember that phrase. I understand it was also shared last night. I was not at the AA banquet, but I understand that was reinforced there last night. That we are to live before an audience of one. This is what Jesus is saying over and over in this passage. Now, what's the underlying problem? We might say the underlying problem is people pleasing. I want people to feel good. I want to meet needs. I want them to feel good about me. It goes deeper than that, and I've discovered as we look at chapter 6, look at verse 2. Jesus himself tells us what the root problem is. He talks about the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. That's the same word we get the word doxology from. It's the same word used for the glory of God. It means to give glory, to give honor, to give praise to. So deep down inside, when we're craving the approval of other people, it's really not their approval that we're craving as if they account. What we're trying to do is to build ourselves up. We want to be little gods, little G-O-D gods. We want to be liked, stroked. Maybe we don't want to be worshipped, but maybe close to that. People praise us and we go, oh, no, a little more, oh, no, not a little more. We want to be kind of puffed up and we get our identity, we get our strokes, we get our affirmation from people. Now that's a blind alley, really. I was at one of the football games recently and had some Tech fans sitting in front of us. And, you know, when Tech was playing great, I'm there cheering, having a wonderful time. Of course, you know, they're under the influence of lots of spirits, but they're having a great time, they're cheering, they're shouting. But, you know, when there were a couple of bad plays, These guys were profane and shouting and cursing. You don't know anything about football. You're crazy. You're idiots. Get out of here. And then I think of these young men who play to this audience. I mean, how are you going to satisfy somebody like that? People are so fickle. They forget. And they'll praise you one minute, and then they'll say something bad about you the next. And tomorrow, you're going to have to up the ante and do something better if you really want to wow anybody. The Bible teaches us that if you're a believer and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins have been washed away, cleansed by Christ's death, you're His child and He delights in you. And you don't have to fake anything. You don't have to up anything. You have to live before your Father. How does God reward this phrase that Jesus uses several times, your Father in secret, your Father who sees in secret will reward you? He remembers, He delights. And I think we don't want to think of rewards in too literal or material a way, like some sort of, you know, not going to give us gold because there's streets of gold in heaven. I mean, when the Lord rewards, He largely rewards with Himself, more of Himself. Psalm 25:14 says, the Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. John 14:21, Jesus said, if you have His commandments and keeps them, that the Father and Christ will manifest, the Son will manifest Himself to us. James in James 4, he says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So the gospel solution is that we live and have a relationship as a child to the Father, and that He gives us great reward of Himself. One of the most precious doctrines in the Bible is the doctrine of adoption. We are not only forgiven through Jesus Christ, we are brought into His family and made His beloved children. And He delights in us, and He rewards our approach to Him. John 1:12 says, all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Romans 8 and read Galatians 3 and 4 about how the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. This is the basis of all of our relationship with the Lord now. It's not so much about prayer and fasting and doing good works. It's about our relationship with God, which overflows into those kinds of things. But we're doing them for Him. And I struggle with this for so much of my life. I always thought it was easier to please people than it is to please God, because God's a perfectionist and most people aren't. And I was all wrong on that. I was all wrong. People never really know you. And people don't have good memories like God has. And we could never please God on the basis of perfection. His Son, Jesus, came into the world and Jesus said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. There's perfection. And in His perfect life and in His perfect death, those of us that have trusted Him and united ourselves to Jesus by faith, we are covered in His righteousness. God is free to take us as His children apart from any level of perfection. Now, this is so hard for me to wrap my mind around, and I forget. And the only way I can kind of remember it is when my kids do something. And this is probably why we kept on having kids through life, was because they did these things when they were like 5 and 6 years old that you go, oh yeah, this is what it's all about. But I'd have my kids bring me these drawings, and maybe it was like a drawing of a purple horse. Now, for those of you that aren't parents, you don't kind of take a drawing like that and you say, hey, there aren't any purple horses. You know, horses aren't purple. If you're a parent, there's one thing you look for. You look down at that little thing that says, to Daddy. And then you tell your kid, that's a beautiful picture. And you put that thing on your refrigerator. And I don't care if Van Gogh came in and wanted to put a picture on your refrigerator. It's not going there. It's the purple horse to Daddy. All right, there's the picture of the Christian life. It's not about me just going saying prayers or fasting or giving to the poor. It's about me doing those things and many other things, serving, missions, Bible studies, worship. It's about doing those things for the audience of my Father. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me,
he's really easier to please. He's much easier to please than you guys. So why do we always go around checking our polls with everybody to see how they're thinking about us? Now, I was thinking about how do we go about closing a message like this. Well, somebody said, you know, you guys never do invitations at BCF. I said, oh, I thought maybe we could do an invitation. No, really can't. If I had an invitation, half of you wouldn't come up here because you'd be afraid of what people thought. And the other half would come up here thinking, I'm really godly, and people are noticing that. See, no, so we're not going to do an invitation. In fact, Jesus himself gives us the application right there in chapter 6. He says, go into your room and shut the door. Get alone so it's just you and the Father. That's when you're at your most real condition. Talk to him. I'd say application number one, sometime the next day or so, some of you, as many of us, go into the bedroom, shut the door. Go in the bathroom, shut the door. Hang up, you know, busy, I'm in here. Or go in the basement, or go into the shed out back, or go sit in your car in the driveway, or go walk in the woods. Just get totally alone where nobody's around. You know, he didn't say, Lord, it's me. And A, I'm a hypocrite. And B, I want to walk as your child. You need to do that. If you're not a Christian, you just need to realize you've got to get right with God. That's what Jesus came to help us have, that father-child relationship with God. If you are a Christian, you've got to remember that's really what you're called to, is to live before your Father in heaven in a loving way. Another thing I would suggest by way of application is have some holy secrets that you have only between you and the Lord. Go out and do something good, and don't tell anybody about it, and do it just for the Lord. And say, Lord, I'm going to do this. This is crazy. But I think it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a blessing to some of your other kids. And they're not going to know. And I don't want to know them. I don't want to drop any hints. I don't leave any clues. I'm just going to do it, and I just want only you to know about it. Do that. And see if God doesn't bless you with a greater sense of His presence, a greater sense of His joy, a greater sense of His peace. Here's another thing. Make use of your alone times that you already have. I notice in myself that oftentimes you're with people and then people go and you're by yourself. And so what do? The first thing you do is you turn something on. You turn on the laptop, you turn on the radio, you turn on the iPod, you turn on the cell phone. You just automatically get plugged into something else. I had somebody in the first service said, you know, I'm going to put on my computer right on the top of the screen, the audience of one. So before you turn anything on, say, Lord, I'm alone with you. And you are my Father who sees in secret and you reward. Take a few moments. Talk to him. Tell him you love him. I mean, we're not talking about hours. You've got to get down on your face and wear sackcloth. And just talk to him through the Lord Jesus. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I thank you that you're my Father. I thank you for my relationship with you. So if you remember some phrases today, a fasting is another thing. It's a neglected discipline. We don't really have time to talk about it, and we perhaps should have a sermon on that sometime, but it's a great way to bring your body into subjection and just to say, God, I'm shutting myself up to you totally. You are my food for the next day or so or whatever. It's a wonderful practice. Again, it's not something we're going to walk around and go, well, we're all fasting today. I've got a t-shirt that says, I'm fasting, the event, you know. This is something you do before the Lord. We cannot legislate this kind of thing. But if you remember anything, remember this phrase, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, let me just back up just one second here. Some people have the idea that God sees you in secret, that's... You remember the thing when you were a kid and it was Christmas and what's the little thing? He sees you when you're sleeping. He sees you when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. Let's all join in. So be good for goodness sake. That's so scary. That's so scary. And you're a little kid and you think, here's this bearded guy who comes around once a year with all this omnipotent power.
to give presents and He knows everything about me? Christianity is not about that. It's not like that. It's not that. God knows everything about us. He knows everything about us and still sent His Savior, Lord Jesus, to take upon Himself everything bad. These are meant to be words of comfort. When you are alone, you are alone with your Heavenly Father who loves you and delights to have you delight in Him. That's what we want to remember. I live and you live before an audience of one. Let's pray. Father God, we praise You for these truths. You've revealed them to us in the Word of God. We know of our sin and brokenness. Lord God, we know that we have no hope except in the work of Your Son, the Lord Jesus, the Son whom You took delight in. We thank You for His perfect life. We thank You for His death that bore our sin upon Himself. We thank You for forgiveness. And we thank You for even more than that, that You have joined us to Your Son and You've made us Your children. Oh Lord God, help us to know that deep down inside. Help us delight in that. Help us to be like Your Son Jesus and try to get every moment alone with You that we can. Help us to live before You as our audience. Help us not, God, help us to turn away from this hypocrisy and people-pleasing that's so easy to fall into. Lord, I confess my own sin, that we just so easy to think about what people think about instead of thinking about how You delight. And even in our feeble attempts to live before You, You delight in that. Lord God, help us live before and play to the audience of one, You. Help us have joy in our lives as we have holy secrets deep down inside that are stories and answered prayers and joys that only each one of us knows with You. Thank You that You like that. Thank You for this time. We again thank You, Lord, for calling so many people from around the world into Your kingdom. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.